We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I have a weekly conversation right here on Prophecy Today when we focus on an issue that Christians must have a biblical understanding of. We'll do that again this time. We're going to be talking about the inerrancy of the Bible, the sufficiency of God's scriptures. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, before we do that and talk about this week's topic, David, you have a brand new book about the Shemitah and the blood moons, and you're going to be giving the keynote address at a conference out west at Berean Call. They're the people that published both your first book and your second book. Talk to us about your new book and also about the conference.
Well, that's right. My new book is called Biblical Guide to the Shemitah and the Blood Moons, and it addresses the issue first raised by Jonathan Kahn in The Harbinger and then The Mystery of the Shemitah, his second book, and then the issue of the blood moons raised by Mark Biltz and John Hagee in their two books. And next week I'll be at the Berean Call Conference giving two keynote addresses, as you noted. And if people would like to join us, they can sign up online for free and watch it live streaming Friday morning and then Saturday afternoon.
I would suggest that would be a very beneficial time for you to connect with live streaming that will be there at the Berean Call. By the way, we have both of the books that David has written, one entitled The Harbinger, Fact or Fiction, and the other one, his new one, Bible Guidelines to the Shemitah and the Blood Moons. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. Go to the Prophecy Bookstore, and you can make the purchase of either one or both of these books. Well, David, this week, Dr. Al Mohler posted an article about a former Southern Baptist church that just recently adopted a very liberal stance towards homosexuality.
Well, that's exactly right. First Baptist Church of Greenville, South Carolina, announced back in May that it would declare itself to be open and welcoming to all people and that it would allow same-sex marriage and ordain openly homosexual ministers even. They had put together a leadership team called the LGBT Discernment Team. They brought it before the church's deacons. They accepted it, and then it was put to a vote in the congregation, and they approved it as well. And this is a former Southern Baptist church.
Well, David, as I understand it, the First Baptist Church of Greenville, and all my folks live in Greer, which is just about 10 miles away from Greenville there in South Carolina, but the First Baptist Church has been one of the flagship churches of the Southern Baptist Convention, and for a long time. Is that not correct?
That's true. It actually goes back to about 1845. The church itself is almost 200 years old, but then back in 1845, they participated in the founding of the Southern Baptist Convention, and actually the pastor of the church at that time became the SBC's first president. Also, it was the first home of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary just before the Civil War, and so it's been a very important church.
I have to ask this question, David. How is it that a church with such a long and impressive history could ultimately end up taking such a clearly unbiblical position on such an important issue?
Well, I would agree with Al Mohler's conclusion that it actually goes back to the issue of inerrancy, and I would say it even goes bigger than just the isolated issue of inerrancy, but one's whole view of the Bible. And I would say it goes back to the doctrine of inspiration, then inerrancy and infallibility, and then the authority and sufficiency of the Scriptures. Back in the 80s and 90s, there was a huge division in the Southern Baptist Convention, really a split between those who were trying to take the convention in a liberal direction and those who were trying to retain conservative evangelical values.
Now, you just mentioned five things that we need to believe about the Bible in order to come to the right conclusions about what it teaches. So let's break down, if you will, for us these five different items that you mentioned for our listeners. What do we mean when we talk about the Bible being inspired?
Well, we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's a familiar passage. It says that it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and so on. And then in Second Peter chapter 1, we read that the prophets of God and those who wrote the scriptures were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And I think perhaps a helpful illustration might be, for example, if I am blowing up a balloon, that balloon becomes filled. Everything in that balloon is from me. It's my breath that is in that balloon. And the balloon itself kind of functions as the cover for it. And the Word of God is His very breath. And we would understand that inspiration goes to the entire grammar, syntax, and vocabulary, the very choice of the words, the structure of the sentences, the flow of the ideas. And so that's what we would understand, that it's directly from God through these men as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Then you mentioned inerrancy and infallibility. Talk about that.
Well, as I discuss these five issues, what I like to do is think of it sort of as a building. And the foundation is inspiration, that if it comes from God, then, and it's truly God's word, then it must be inerrant or without error. And so that's a pillar resting on that foundation. And then the twin pillar sitting right beside it on that foundation is infallibility, means that it can't have any errors. And if it doesn't have any errors, that means that it is completely trustworthy. And so that's the way we would understand it, building that house, if you will, on that foundation.
Well, how do you respond then to the claim by many that will say there are clear factual errors and contradictions in the Bible? What's your response?
There are several things to take into account. For example, if the Bible says that the sun rises, so there are those who would say this is a scientific error because we know that the earth actually rotates and only gives the appearance of the sun rising. And they would say this was just written by primitive people. And I would say, well, it's simply the language of observation, and those same people who are saying that the Bible has an error there, they use exactly the same language. Another thing we might look at is, you know, I could say that in the 1990s, the population of the United States was 300 million people. Was it exactly 300 million? No, but for the purposes of what I want to communicate, it's an absolutely inerrant and true, trustworthy statement, because that is what the population was, rounded to those things. And so as you look through the Bible, what we find is that there really aren't any contradictions. And in fact, most of those who would level that accusation, if you would ask them, well, tell me which ones you're talking about, most of them are just repeating what they heard from someone else.
Let's discuss those final two points that you mentioned, David, the authority and the sufficiency of the Scriptures.
Right. So if we look at the foundation of inspiration and then the twin pillars of inerrancy and infallibility, and resting on top of those twin pillars is authority and sufficiency. And so we talk about the authority of the Scriptures. We're talking about the fact that if they come from God and they are designed to fully equip us to live the life He wants us to live, that means we need to humble ourselves and accept what God has to say. They provide direction, correction, instruction in my life. And if that's true, that means that they are sufficient. They are sufficient to equip me to be a mature believer, to live the life that the Lord would have me to live. That's what the Scriptures do.
That is such a wonderful truth. The Scriptures help us to live in light of God's plan for each of us. David, you often talk about in your teaching, because at our School of Prophets, you teach hermeneutics and dispensationalism. So you frequently discuss these two items, hermeneutics, dispensationalism. How are these connected to our view of the Bible?
Well, when we talk about hermeneutics, we're simply talking about the principles of interpretation. And so if we have a proper view of the Bible, that's going to guide how we handle the Bible and how we understand it. And so we accept what the Bible says. So the hermeneutic, or the principles that we use, is according to a literal, grammatical, historical hermeneutic. We accept what the Word of God says, and we understand it in the light of the historical context in which it was written. And so that provides a foundation for our study of the Scriptures. So it's based on our view of the Bible, informs how we interpret the Bible, and then out of that flows our theology. So you have the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of salvation. And dispensationalism is another area of theology. So it's not that we start with dispensationalism. We start with a right view of the Bible We interpret it correctly, and that leads to dispensationalism, which includes the idea that God has a future for Israel, that all the prophecies are going to be fulfilled literally, and so this is the way we would understand it.
Well, obviously, this has a lot more implications that go far beyond just the homosexual issue, does it not?
Well, that's absolutely true. You know, the homosexual issue is really just a symptom. It's the result of not taking the Bible seriously. It's the result of having a low view of the Scriptures, not a high view of the Scriptures. And so this means that if that's the case, we're going to question what the Bible says about the creation. We're going to question what the Bible says about the Christian life in general. It's going to affect how we handle the Word of God. It affects really every area of the Christian life and every area of ministry, how we teach the Bible, how we disciple other believers. It encompasses everything, where we start and where we end up.
This is such an important conversation that I've just had with David James. You might want to go back and re-listen to it and take some notes as you're listening. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. There you can go to PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network, and you'll be able to re-listen to David's conversation. And may I suggest you contact a friend or two, or how many ever you have, I hope that's a lot, and tell them they need to listen to what David had to say. This is the bottom line. This is the basis for all issues that David and I will ever talk about right here on Prophecy Today. David, thank you so much for your research and for your insight into how to approach the Word of God as God's holy word. Appreciate it. We'll have another conversation next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Look forward to it.